Hey, we're going to Philippians this morning, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, verses 4 through 9. I want to jump in there with you, jump right in, read that text. I've got some great things to share with you today. I'm excited about this. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Title of the message is, Say What? Because there's something that Paul says in this text that we're about to read that when you hear it, it's just like, what in the world did he just say? So I want you to catch this. It's a big one, and it'll be on the screen, but you could turn to it or follow along as well. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. He says, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So go ahead and say it at home. Even if you're in a room all by yourself, somebody say rejoice. Echo that out there. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What a promise that comes with it. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your word. I pray that it will strengthen our hearts. I pray that we will be equipped in a fresh way to live for you through it. I pray that your preaching, even as it travels, Lord God, through Wi-Fi and Cat 5 and 6 wires or however else it gets to somebody through their cable TV provider, I pray, God, that your word will go forth effectively and equip us to live for you in the name of Jesus. And church, wherever you are, I hope you'll pray along with me right now. Just repeat this prayer. If you would pray, Father, build me as I continue to follow you, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. How do you rejoice always? I mean, that's a fair question when we consider what Paul just wrote. How do you rejoice always? Even I could ask, could there be a crazier call in Scripture than to say such a thing? Rejoice always. Always. We know what life is really like and what comes. And I think to understand what the Apostle Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 4, it's important that we also understand what he is not saying as we kick right off from the beginning. Paul is definitely not saying that you're never going to be sad about anything. That wouldn't make any sense, and it also wouldn't reconcile with his other teaching, because there are times where Paul talks about mourning and how to mourn and things like that. So we know that's not a factor. He can't be saying that. We know that Paul is not saying that nothing's ever going to upset you. He can't mean that, because he writes in his epistles about getting along with one another and letting brotherly love continue, and so he can't mean that. And he definitely can't mean you're never going to feel discouraged. That wouldn't make any sense, because he writes about what to do when you do feel discouraged. So when Paul says to rejoice always, he's not necessarily simply just talking about an emotional state that we just stay in some euphoria or some high, if you will, that we would never come down from. He isn't saying that, but he is giving a very practical guide to everyday living in a crazy, mixed up world with crazy, mixed up people. Have you noticed that some of the people you're sharing the planet with are crazy, mixed up people? You probably have. Some of them have also noticed it because you're sharing it with them, or I'm sharing it with them. They've picked up on it as well along the way. We know that. You know what kind of throws me in this season, this whole season of the pandemic and everything? What kind of throws me is to see like a video shared from a multimillionaire celebrity from their $25 million yacht out in the ocean where they went out when everything came about. And from their $25 million yacht, they make a little video, and they finish their video by saying, we're all in this together. And I'm like, I don't know about all that. because I'm not on a $25 million yacht floating around out in the ocean somewhere. I'm standing right now in the zip code that has the second highest number of positive coronavirus cases in the whole state of Maryland. I'm not on a $25 million yacht. I don't know about that. All in this together, if you will. Our together isn't always the same thing. But when Paul writes these words, Paul writes them from a prison cell facing a possible execution that is ahead of him. So when he writes Philippians, he doesn't write it from his yacht. He doesn't write it from a nice set of circumstances. And that's important to get because it helps us to relate better of that when he says it, we could think, well, that's not practical because everything was good for him. No, he writes it when everything is not good for him and life is crazy altogether for him. And that's when the Holy Spirit leads him to pen these words. Now, had I been there, I would have said, Paul, explain yourself. Explain what you're saying when you say rejoice always. But I wouldn't have had to say it because he did it anyway. After he said rejoice always, he then went through some verses that we just read where he basically writes to us, and here's how you're going to do it. Here's how you're going to be able to live a life where you rejoice always in Christ. And the first thing that he gives us is he says, if you're going to live a life where you rejoice always, you're going to have a gentle disposition. You're going to have a gentle disposition. Paul says it like this. He says, let your gentleness be known to all. The old King James Version said, let your forbearance be known to all. We don't really use the word forbearance anymore. It kind of meant to bear with, to put up with, to be long-suffering, if you will, in your life. So you know what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, if you're going to rejoice always, you're going to have to overlook some junk along the way. Come on. Paul's saying, if you're going to rejoice always, you're going to have to put up with some things sometimes along the way. And you're going to have to blow some things off is what he's saying. Now, I know some folks who love Jesus. And I'm not bluffing and I'm not being silly. I know some folks who love Jesus. They love Jesus. They worship Jesus. They are generous. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They love Jesus. And none of the people I'm talking about are from this church that I pastor. These were New Yorkers. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about back in New York. I'm talking about some people who love Jesus. They are passionate in love with Jesus, and yet they are fighting with people everywhere they go. There are people who love Jesus who are in a fight with someone all the time. All the time they're in a fight with somebody. They're in a dispute with somebody everywhere. All the time with things along the way. They're always upset with somebody. They're upset with the server in the restaurant. They're upset with their coworker. They're fighting at home. They can't get along with somebody at church. They're mad at their neighbor. They are just always upset and worked up over something. And they love Jesus, but they don't get to rejoice always because instead of living a life of gentleness, they're living a life, if you will, of aggressiveness in their lives. Paul's saying, if you want to live a life of joy where you rejoice always, it is your gentleness that you make known to all. In order to rejoice always, you're going to sometimes have to let some stuff go. Now, because you have to share the planet with 7,786,215,232 people, that's as of Friday afternoon. I'm sure that number has changed by now. But because of that, guess what? Because you share it, and let me throw this in as well, some of those people who have been added to the planet, even since Friday, they're going to be very annoying people. They are. Because here's what I've noticed. Everybody is created by God. And my observation in my lifetime up until this point is that Jesus makes some real sweet people and Jesus makes some annoying people. Have you picked up on that as well? I know he made all of them. But I have picked up on that Jesus made some people who are really sweet, and Jesus has made some people who are kind of annoying and get to you, and he loves all of them. And which list you're on, the sweet list or the annoying list, it depends on who gets asked. Because guess what? You're probably on one person's sweet list, and you might be on somebody else's annoying list, even though you're the same person. So that would be true for all of us along the way in our lives. So I'd like to think that I'm on everyone's sweet list, but I know that that can't really be the case. So let me tell you something that happened to me. I go to the bank. I'm in the bank, and I had a couple of different transactions, and I'm standing there with the teller at the front of the bank, and at the other window, there is a rabbi. Now, I know already you're going to think I'm about to tell a joke. A pastor and a rabbi walked into a bank. You're going to be like, Pastor, when did the priest or the imam come in or something or another? It's not a joke. This is a true story. It really happened. I'm standing there at the window. There is a rabbi at the other window, and both of our transactions are taking forever. There was something up with the computers and the bank. Things weren't working right. And when I first went up to the window, maybe there was a person or two behind me. But what happens as 2 minutes turns to 4 minutes, turns to 6 minutes, turns to 8 minutes, is the line starts to build up. And it gets a little longer. And it's going all the way back through the lobby toward the door. And I must have been at that counter for probably about 15 minutes. And the rabbi was at the other counter for just as long through all this time. And once the teller at the bank was finally finished with me and handed me all my stuff, and I turned to walk out, I'm telling you, that whole line, they were looking at me like I was Adolf Hitler himself coming to the bank or something. They were not happy because they've been waiting all this time for me. And as I kind of walk by, I'm like, sorry. But there's this one man in the line. He's not interested in my apology. And he looked square at me and pointed at me. And then he shouted loudly, "Get out! Get out!" And I was just like, whoa. I don't think I'm on his sweet list. I didn't do it on purpose, but I got a feeling I'm on his annoying list along the way. I don't think he liked me too much. And that happens to all of us because we don't go through life alone. In order to be able to rejoice always, we have to be a people who are able to be patient with others. We have to overlook some offenses. I'm not talking about overlooking injustice. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about overlooking personal offense and picking at things along the way. We're going to have to allow for some disturbances along the way in our lives. We're going to have to be gentle and moderate in our responses with other people. You can't let other people keep deciding what your emotional state is going to be. You can't let coworkers and neighbors and other people in the marketplace that they get to decide what your emotional state is going to be because they do things that you don't like that they do. You have to take charge of that. And part of how you'll do that is by being moderate and gentle is what Paul says. Paul says, you want to rejoice always? You're going to have to put some gentleness on in your life. It's going to have a gentle disposition. There's nearly 8 billion people on the planet. Don't let one of them at the drive-thru this week mess up your day because they take too long. You can't let that happen. You keep rejoicing. Let me keep moving. The second thing Paul says is, you're not only going to have to foster this gentle disposition, but he says you've got to give worry an eviction notice. And this can be a tough one. Remember, Paul isn't on his million-dollar yacht telling you not to worry. He's in a jail cell facing possible execution, and he's saying not to worry about anything. Now, you've probably heard the old expression, I didn't make it up, I don't know where it came from, that says worry's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. And that's really true about worry. It doesn't really accomplish anything in our lives. I want you to think about, though, as we mentioned this one, worry, think about the absolutes for a second that Paul is speaking in. Listen to the absolutes. He says, rejoice always. He says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. That's because one person can take your joy. One person. So you're going to let your gentleness be known to everyone. He says, be anxious for nothing. He speaks in absolutes because you can't rejoice always if you're only gentle with some people or you worry about some things. You have to be gentle with everyone. You got to be gentle with your spouse. You've got to be gentle with your kids. You have to do that with everyone. It's got to be across the board. Now, I'm at home one morning, and I'm getting the kids ready. My wife's upstairs, and I think it was breakfast time, and we're getting ready to head out the door to school. And I don't know what was going on, but these boys were always horsing around, and they're tremendous men, and they were great boys, but they were boys, and they're just always goofing off with each other and acting up. And whatever was happening, we were running late, and I'm pushing them, and I can't remember if they spilled something or did something, but this is how my mama would have said it. My mom, growing up in rural Virginia, she would have told me and my brothers that we had got on her last nerve. You know what I'm talking about? There's a mom out there watching who's got a last nerve. It's the last one. So my mom would say, when my mom told us you're on my last nerve, we knew we're out of time. We better straighten up. So my sons were there, and they were there with me as well. And I mean, whatever happened, man, I became so angry. And I mean, I'm angry. And I'm in the kitchen, and I slam the cabinet shut, and I start to call out at my sons. And here comes my wife running down the stairs from upstairs like Captain Marvel to rescue the sons. Because see, in my wife's family, they all live to be like 100 years old. So my wife already knows she's probably outliving me. So she knows she has to keep the boys around because somebody got to look out for her after I die. So I'm thinking that's the strategy. So she wants to make sure I don't hurt them. So here comes my wife, like, don't hurt my insurance policy. And she comes running down, what's going on? And I'm like, and I have to settle, of course. And you say, Pastor, you come on. I had kids in home just like you do along the way. Being gentle with our family is part of being able to rejoice always. He said, everyone. Being anxious for it, it's absolutes he speaks in. He's speaking in absolutes across the board in order to be able to do this. In the worry one, in the worry, we could say to him, don't worry about anything. Come on, Paul, what do you mean don't worry about anything? That seems irresponsible. That doesn't even seem like responsible advice to say, don't worry about anything of everything. But listen, here's what he says. He equips us with it. He says, every single time you start to worry, every single time, come on, somebody say every time, wherever you are, every single time you start to worry, he says, tell God about it. That's what he says. He doesn't say you're not going to start. He says every time, because he's saying you're going to be anxious for nothing, but instead, here's what you're going to do. You're going to talk to God about it. You're going to take it to him is what you're going to do. So when you feel that anxiety start to come, you're going to tell God, not sometimes, every single time. Every single time it tries to sneak in, and every single time you start to worry about something, you're going to thank God for something. Because he says you're going to do it with thankfulness. Because here's what happens. You start to worry about your financial situation. And when you start to worry about your financial situation, you immediately say, okay, what am I supposed to do? I got to tell God about it. So God, here's my situation. But then you're going to thank God also. So now you're going to remember when you went through a tough time before and how God brought you through. And you're going to say, oh God, I want to thank you as well for how you provided for me before in the past. And when you do, that'll strengthen your faith so that you pray in faith and you believe for what you're asking for. And you can give worry an eviction notice along the way. Come on, when Jesus taught from Matthew 6, he said, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Our God clothes the grass of the field. He cares for the birds of the air. And he says, you're far more important than all of them. Remember that. He will care for you. And remember this. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't say that, does it? My God shall supply all your needs according to your present employment situation. That's not in there. My God shall supply all your needs according to the current status of your doesn't mention a retire. Nothing like that. My God shall supply all your needs according to, come on, His riches in Christ Jesus. Come on, His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. That's how God is supplying them. The economy of heaven is just fine. I can assure you of that. It hasn't been impacted in any way. So to rejoice always, we're going to kick out worry. Come on, hear me, friend. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God has given you love. God has given you power. God has given you a sound mind. That is what God gave you. But catch this as I jump to the third one because it's a big one. When I was a student at the University of Valley Forge, I worked for the maintenance department of the school at the same time. One time I got assigned the task I was told that a squirrel had gotten into the apartment of one of the staff members. So they said, hey, there's a squirrel in the apartment. Somebody's got to go catch the squirrel. How do you get a gig like this? So myself and a coworker, we say, how are we going to catch him? Well, the director of operations had one of these humane traps. You put food in it, and when the squirrel goes in to eat the food, the doors close, it catches him in there, he's still alive. He said, go catch him with this. We're all right. So we go over there. I want to tell you what, the squirrel had tore the place up. He had torn up wood around the windows and stuff trying to get out. He did not like being in the apartment. He wanted to get out. So we were there to rescue him. And we come in and we put the trap in there and we leave for a little while. And we come back. Success. We caught the squirrel. Now I asked my supervisor, what do I do with the squirrel when I catch him? He said, just take him off in the field over there and let him out. And he'd just go wherever he goes. I was like, all right. So I put him in the back of the truck, the work truck we have. We drove way out into the field. We get out in the field. I take the trap. I set it on the ground, and I lift the door, and here's what the squirrel did. He knew exactly where he was. He knew where I had taken him to. He jumped out. He ran a beeline perfectly straight back across the field to the very building that I had just taken him out of, because he knew how to get back into the building. That was his house. He came back. Here's the thing you need to know about worry. When you kick worry out, it's coming back. It's coming back. It won't stay out. It knows how to get back in. It knows you. So you got to remember, when you kick worry out, this next one is so important. And that is, Paul says this, in order to be able to rejoice always, you got to control your thought life. Because your thought life is worry's door back into your life as well. So Paul says, you're going to let your gentleness be known to all. You're going to be anxious for nothing. Instead, you're going to talk to God about it. And then you got to control your thought life. And in verse 8, he says this. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think about those things. See, my ability to rejoice always is always going to be directly connected to my ability to control my thought life. It's a big one. Paul says in one of his letters to the Corinthians that we have to bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Captive, kind of like when the squirrel was in the cage. You got to catch them right there. Choose what you're going to think about. Choose to think about what is true, he says. You know what's true? Here's what's true. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but no harm will come to me. That's God's word, so that's what's true. Choose to think about what's pure. You know what's pure? The words of the Lord are pure words, the Bible declares. So what I'm going to think about is what God says is right and what God says is true. Choose to think about what is praiseworthy. You know what's praiseworthy? The manifestation of the presence of God in your life. The glory of God revealed in your life. That is when God says things, because God operates in a realm that you and I do not live in. So God sets things into motion in a realm where you and I do not live, in the spiritual realm. So when God speaks, it's in that realm where I'm not. But when it becomes manifest in this physical realm, to where now I experience what God said in my life, that's the glory of God revealed in my life. Come on, that's praiseworthy. The goodness of God revealed in your life. That's what you want to think about in your life. Think about what he's done and what he can do. Romans 12:2 gives us this call. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to take your thoughts captive. We have to control our thought life in order to be able to walk in this. And then Paul gives us one last thing, and it's a quick one because it's just a summation of those three, is what he does. You got to put it all into practice. You got to put it into practice. In verse 9, he says, hey, church. He says, the things I've taught you. Hey, church, the things you've seen in me and how you've seen me live. He says, you got to put that stuff into practice in your own life, is what he says. You got to walk this out as well. It doesn't do any good to know things if you don't do them. I can know that my car needs gas, but if I don't put it in it, it ain't going to do any good. You got to do what you know to do. You got to exercise it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do this. I'm going to let my gentleness be made known to all right? Because remember, we're talking about rejoicing always. So I'm going to let my gentleness be made known to all. That means sometimes somebody's really going to get on your nerves, and what are you going to do? You're going to be like, you're just going to slow it down. Come on, you're going to slow it down, right? We all know that the Bible says this very specifically. It says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When I get mad, that never produces God's righteousness. When I become angry, it doesn't produce God's righteousness. It's just me getting upset along the way. So I'm going to slow it down because I want my gentleness to be what is made known to all. I'm going to kick worry out of my brain and my heart, and let the peace of God guard my heart and mind as I cast everything on him. I'm going to control my thought life so that it can't get back in and think about the things God tells me to think about. I'm going to walk in this by putting into practice the things that he said. And can you rejoice always in the middle of a pandemic? Can you rejoice always when the economy looks crazy and things are all over the place and all? Yeah, we can. We can, because we can walk in these things. They're practical things that we can live out in our lives, so we're going to do that. I want to ask Juliana, the worship team, to come back with me at this time. We're going to close. We're going to sing about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. It's a great song. I think we sang it last Sunday. And we want to lift it up right now, how we declare that. And as we do, I want you to hang out on it. Don't go away. Don't cut off the transmission. I want you to worship along to this. I'm going to come back and I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I want to take a few minutes, quick minutes, to talk to you about the process of reopening here at our local church. But first things first, let's keep our mind on this, our thoughts captive, and give God some worship at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. You, Lord God. Come on, let's pray together. Griselle, you could continue to play as I pray at this time, or Juliana as well, if you'd like. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We will. All our life, you have been faithful. We give you thanks for that, Lord God, as we bring things before you. I know we've prayed today. We continue to now. We want to be a people who walk in and live in this call to rejoice always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Help us, God. Help me to be gentle this week. Help my brothers and sisters well. Help us to be gentle at home and in the workplace, in the marketplace, with our children, with our parents, with our with our spouses, with our neighbors, wherever we are. Let our forbearance, our gentleness be made known to all, as we're anxious for nothing, giving everything to you, taking those thoughts captive. We know worry's going to try to get back in, but we're not going to let it back in. We're going to think about what's true according to your word, that we can continue to live lives where we're rejoicing in you. We're putting it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.